Look Magazine senior editor William Hedgepeth, who says it could happen here. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect, night calls, national phone numbers, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening.
Yeah.
Clang, bang, and there you'll be, and you won't get out till old LBJ and the boys are good and ready. They haven't built 37 of those camps for nothing, you know. Those were the words of a new left student demonstrator in San Francisco a short while ago. Another voice, a black one, some days later, 3,000 miles east. What do you mean, am I serious? Only way the system know how to put people down is by hitting them with clubs, mace, and tear gas. And them 24 concentration camps ain't sitting out there for nothing. I've just read you parts of a recent Look magazine article called America's Concentration Camps, The Rumors and the Realities, by our guest tonight, senior editor of Look magazine, Mr. William Hedgepeth. And before we ask him about some of the rumors and realities of America's concentration camps, I'd like to mention our phone numbers and remind you that you can now call us collect from any part of the country where you are hearing our program. Our national phone number is area code 212-866-5010 and area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-866-5010 or 212-749-3311. Good evening, Mr. Hedgepeth.
Good evening.
Mr. Hedgepeth, do we have any concentration camps in this country?
Well, the answer is not quite a simple yes or no matter. We have sites for concentration camps. We have a law that allows for concentration camps. The only thing we don't have right at this moment are people presently incarcerated, but in general, I would say yes.
How did the concentration camps come about, sir?
Well, we have a bit of a history of this, of course, during World War II. As you know, there were 109,500 Japanese Americans who were held in 10 relocation centers, they were called, around this country. And citing that as a precedent, Congress in 1950 passed the Internal Security Act of 1950, Title II of which allows for the emergency detention of persons who it is assumed might possibly be dangerous at some future date. That is to say, not people who have done anything for which they could be arrested, but people who seem as if they might commit subversion or might be dangerous, in other words, to existing authority at some future time. They can be picked up and held.
Well, the rumors of the concentration camp and the possibility that these camps can be activated at any time are very prevalent among the black people and also among the student demonstrators. Why is this so?
Well, I don't know how this, how the rumors exactly got started. I know that since writing this Look article, I was looking through the report of the National Advisory Commission on Civil Disorders, and it was cited in this report, this presidential commission, that the rumors of concentration camps were among the precipitating factors of some of the rioting in New Jersey last year, as a matter of fact. And this kind of talk reaches a certain panic proportions, especially among people, as, for example, in ghettos, who feel that they are more or less disinherited, that they have no attachment to the establishment as it is, and that they to some extent justifiably feel that that those in authority are out to get them, and it just feeds on itself like this. It'd be very difficult to go into an area, for example, such as the south side of Chicago, or in the ghetto area in Washington D.C. or even in New York, and not find at least one out of every three people there who does not actually believe, A, that there are concentration camps, and B, that they themselves are face incarceration in them.
Then they're actually the idea or the thought of American concentration camps is far more of a reality than a myth.
Well, the myth has very strong reality, but we do have this law, as they say, Title II of the Internal Security Act of 1950, or the McCarran Act, as it's called, which provides that that under three conditions, that is, in the event of a declaration of war or a threat of an imminent invasion or insurrection in aid of a foreign enemy, the president can declare the existence of an internal security emergency, and having done so, then the attorney general is authorized to arrest and detain all persons whom it seems probably might commit sabotage or probably might engage in some sort of conspiracy against the best interests of the country. And having rounded up such people, then they'll be held in these camps. And there are six camps that were set aside by law in 1952 that are in Allenwood, Pennsylvania, Tule Lake, California, El Reno, Oklahoma, Avon Park, Florida, and Florence and Wickenburg, Arizona.
Could you give us an idea, sir, as to why the camps were set up at that particular time?
Well, the camps were set up pursuant to this law, which, as I say, was passed in 1950. The law provides for the detention of potential subversives, and so with that law on the books, it was necessary then, obviously, to set up some place to hold them. And so one followed the other in that respect. The camp at Tule Lake, California, interestingly, was one of those that were used for the Japanese during World War II. It held about 10,000 Japanese, I believe. And these were Japanese Americans. These were not prisoners of war. These were people who were picked up because it seemed that they might possibly be dangerous since we were fighting the Japanese.
This is Night Call in New York, and our guest is Mr. William Hedgepeth, who is the senior editor of Look magazine. Our discussion tonight and our topic, which of course we invite you to participate in, is American concentration camps. Our telephone number in New York, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. That's area code 212 in New York, 749-3311, 866-5010. And a reminder to you that if you're calling from out of town, you may call us collect. In view of the fact that many of the racial demonstrations that have taken place throughout the country, some have been labeled as insurrections, would this make some of the participants eligible for concentration camps under this law?
Well, this is one point at which the rumor becomes more dangerous than the reality, because the law specifies that in the event of insurrection in aid of a foreign enemy, I'm quoting the law there, the president can, if he chooses to, declare the existence of an internal security emergency. It becomes kind of a difficult area because, first of all, every riot, of course, is not declared an insurrection. And secondly, every insurrection is obviously not in aid of a foreign enemy. But countervailing that is the fact that almost every riot we've had, there's been declarations by J. Edgar Hoover or someone that this has been, you know, communist-led or communist-supported, or at least the communists like the whole idea of the thing. And so it becomes kind of almost then a matter of semantics as to whether you could say that this given riot was in aid of a foreign enemy. But the residents in ghetto areas and various other people of that sort don't make really this distinction in that respect, and they believe that if the government is bent on picking them up and holding them, that a little nicety like the in aid of a foreign enemy is not going to keep them from it.
Mr. Hedgepeth, we will welcome some of our first listeners who are calling in tonight, and we'll take our first call from Belleville, New Jersey. Mr. John Herbert is listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
My question is, how does the government intend to round up the 20 million or more black people in the United States in the event of a civil insurrection?
Well, I I don't think that I suggested that that all Negroes were going to be rounded up in the event of an insurrection. Obviously, if and you're speaking hypothetically in that case, in any event, because there is no present disposition on the part of those in government to activate this law. In any case, the thing's been on the books now for 18 years. It would apply in that particular instance only to those persons who were involved in the insurrection in that particular location.
I see. Well, what about the what is happening now in this country is a feeling of unity between the black people. In other words, now would the people would the government only pick up the people that are involved in the rioting or involved in the shooting, or will they go around house to house and root out all black people as they have as they did with the Japanese?
No, it would not. It would not be as with the Japanese. One respect in which this particular concentration camp law we have is different from the renowned concentration camp system in Germany is that each person picked up under this law must be picked up under a warrant, an emergency detention warrant issued by the Attorney General. It's not really a mass roundup in that respect. It is a fairly specific thing.
But, sir, may I ask this? Under this particular law, if a person is detained by the Attorney General, doesn't he forego whatever civil rights that are normally accorded to him in other cases?
Well, the whole due process of law is for all practical purposes, done away with. He is not accorded the right of habeas corpus, that is, of bail, and the government can, at its discretion, simply refuse to present any evidence it might have against him in any court this may be taken to. And so, in other words, this puts the burden of proof on the person who is arrested. In other words, he is assumed guilty in that respect because he has to disprove the charge against him, since the government is not obligated to prove their cause for arresting him.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Our telephone number is area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. That's area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. We'll accept our next call, Mr. Hedgepeth, from Mr. Flood of Staten Island, New York, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WLIB-FM. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Good evening. Yes, sir. My question is really kind of twofold. In your research, was it possible to try to determine who started these rumors or discussions concerning the concentration camps? And if you did determine who started these rumors or discussions, could not this have been started for the purpose of creating a disturbance?
First of all, in so far as how these things got started, there is, on one hand, the fact that this law has been on the books now for 18 years, and it would be very difficult to keep it secret infinitely. So far as I can tell, a great portion of the stories of concentration camps resulted from a booklet that was published by the Citizens Committee for Constitutional Liberties, which is an ad hoc left-wing type group. The name of the booklet is Concentration Camps USA, and this thing was published, I think, in 1966. And it served to focus a lot of attention on these camps. What this booklet was the writer, whose name is Charles Allen, went to the six camps and reported on their status with a great deal of editorializing about the law itself. And this is the only real documentary evidence I could find as to the source of rumors, perhaps. But I have personally come into contact with hundreds of people who have never heard of this particular booklet, who swear up and down that there are concentration camps and that they are, you know, the next ones to go.
Mr. Hedgepeth, we must interrupt. I'm very sorry, but we have to break for station identification, and then we'll continue. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Hedgepeth after station identification.
Call it a social pressure valve, the voice of the ghetto, the voice of disgust, the voice of hope. Call it what you will, it's the voice of the people. Night Call lets people talk, and experts on the phone everywhere in the country or world offer answers to some of the problems. Having a heart-to-heart squawk. At least it gets people talking, first about their problems, and eventually to each other. Night Call has a potential cast of 200 million Americans. We now cover 30 stations in 27 cities and Washington, D.C. It could just be the most important listening post on the air today because it starts people talking. A program you should listen to, a forum to speak for yourself. If we don't start talking to each other, we'll end up shouting, and there's no telling where we'll wind up after that. Night Call, every weeknight on this station.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. To William Hedgepeth about American concentration camps. Again, Del Shields.
And we return to Night Call, and we'd like to take a moment out to welcome KMOX-FM to the Night Call Network in St. Louis, Missouri, and welcome. And on this Friday evening, we're talking to Mr. William Hedgepeth, a senior editor of Look magazine, in our discussion, our topic tonight, concentration camps in America. Mr. Hedgepeth, aware of the fact that the rumors are kind of prevalent, and I'd like to just go back again to the idea of the racial demonstrations that are taking place in America. There are many, many people who insist upon tying up the, or tying in the racial demonstrations with a communist threat. And as they continue to tie this in with the communist threat, does not the idea of the concentration camps consistently loom as a threat?
A threat to who exactly?
To the demonstrators.
Well, yes, it does. The fact that these rumors themselves are an obvious byproduct of this feeling of being threatened. That fear that that keeps these things going. I don't know really whether those persons in ghetto areas and whatnot are not necessarily labeled as communists, and they don't really think that much about that aspect of the thing themselves. The fact as it exists in their minds is that that there they are living in this tinderbox area, and there is a government in their minds that is willing at the first glimmer of disturbance to clap them into some sort of mass detention facility, and the political orientation of the whole thing doesn't really enter into it too much in as far as they're concerned.
This is Night Call in New York, and we'd like to extend an invitation to our Night Call listeners out of town. Please feel free to call at area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. That's 749-3311 or 866-5010. Remember, if you're calling from out of town, you may call collect. We'll accept our next call, this time from Jamaica, New York, for Mr. Howard, who's listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM. Welcome, sir. Fine, thank you.
I would like to know, number one, why there seems to be such a major discrepancy with the number of these concentration camps. And number two, I feel as though the government has been presented or projected to the black community in an alienated fashion. And by having this type of thing perpetrated, that there are in existence concentration camps, I think this tends to polarize the nation a lot more. Do you feel so also?
Polarize the nation, you mean into black and white camps.
Exactly.
That sort of thing. Well, first of all, as to the discrepancy of the number, since a good deal of the information about this whole thing originates from a rumor anyway, well, even after this article appeared in Look, I got numerous letters from people saying, well, on one hand, some people saying that there are no concentration camps and that I was just writing some big put-on, and other people would write to me and say, you did some whitewash job here because I personally know of 500 concentration camps. I was discussing here this particular law that sets up this particular number of concentration camps, 6, in other words.
I see.
And the second part of your question having to do with the polarization, what was that again?
I was saying, in that there is in existence 6 concentration camps per se,
yeah,
that we can acknowledge and know of.
Yeah.
Don't you feel as though this tends to polarize the nation even more than it is at this present time into black-white camps?
Yes. Well, of course, another aspect of this thing, too, is that this is this. It is in the ghetto area that a great preponderance of the rumor mongering takes place. But the camps are not necessarily exclusively for Negroes. In any case, it is people who live in the ghettos who seem most threatened by it. But I first heard of the whole concentration camp business while doing a Look article in Haight-Ashbury last year. And I heard of this there, and all of the hippies and new leftists and students and what have you, all of them believed that they were similarly headed for concentration campery. And it does tend to polarize the nation in a number of different areas, young versus old, black versus white, liberal versus conservative, and a lot of other ways.
I guess it depends on how you look at it, but
yes,
I guess being a black person, I tend to feel as though, you know, this would be a place for us if we get out of line, and in that your due process of law tends to be removed in this particular case. Does the Congress have anything to say about when the president can make this acknowledgement that this is the state of the country at this time, and we must take these measures?
Yes, Congress can call upon the president, and has. Various members of Congress have called upon the president about 25 or 6 times since the law was passed, calling upon him to activate the thing, and the president, whoever the president might be at that particular moment, has never seen fit to do this. As a matter of fact, the week before this Look article came out, the House Un-American Activities Committee issued a 65-page report asking that in the event of black guerrilla warfare this summer, that the nation consider activating the McCarran Act and using these camps for black militants.
Mr. Hedgepeth. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Is it not possible that under this law that the president himself can initiate or can invoke this law without going to Congress?
Yes, it is. The president can do it either by himself or upon action by Congress. But it is he who ultimately declares the existence of a national security emergency, and then from that point on, it becomes the duty of the Attorney General to carry this out. And the Attorney General, of course, I talked with him in connection with this article, and he is certainly of no mood ever to do this, and he considers the law an abhorrent thing and would never consent to its activation.
But the law is on the books.
Yes, it is.
There are sites that have been set aside.
Yes.
If concentration camps are needed.
Yes.
So then there it's not really a myth.
No, it's not. And that is the basis to this myth. Of course, the rumors go far beyond the facts. There are many Negroes that I talk with who believe fully that not only do we have concentration camps, but that they are all prepared with crematoriums, as in Nazi-style camps, and that they're going to be turned into mass extermination centers. And this, of course, is far beyond the law, as horrible though as the law is.
This is Night Call in New York, and our topic tonight is concentration camps.
And our guest tonight is Mr. William Hedgepeth, the senior editor of Look magazine. We'll welcome our next call. And if you'd like to call, remember area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. That's 749-3311, 866-5010. We'll welcome our next call, Mr. Hedgepeth, from Miss Carney of South Bend, Indiana, who's listening tonight call over radio station WSBT. Welcome to Night Call.
Hello, sir. I have two questions about concentration camps. The first one has to do with the background that the gentleman gave about the Japanese American or the Nisei. I was wondering, is it true that on the question of the constitutionality of this, that the Supreme Court had ruled that it was constitutional to put these native-born Americans of Japanese descent in concentration camps? And then my second question is, has the constitutionality of the present McCarran Act ever been tested? Now, I understand the Supreme Court cannot rule on any hypothetical case, so it would mean that they would have had to have used these concentration camps before the law could be tested. And those are my two questions, then, sir.
Yeah, first, the Supreme Court did in, I believe it was 1946, in the case of Korematsu versus U.S., rule that it was legal to put the Japanese Americans in these camps. This, of course, was after the fact. This was after they had been released and everything else. There are constitutional authorities today who say that that the present Supreme Court would overturn that ruling if the occasion ever arose. Secondly, the law would have to be activated and someone would have to be put into a camp before the constitutionality of Title II of the McCarran Act could be tested. There has to be a plaintiff, in other words. But the American Civil Liberties Union, within the next few weeks, will be serving a suit upon various federal officials asking for a declaratory judgment declaring this act unconstitutional, and secondly, for asking for an injunction against the federal government, enjoining the federal government from ever using these camps to begin with. It is felt that, of course, if the law were activated and if there were a plaintiff, and this would instantly go to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court would almost as instantly throw it out. The only other thing that serves to confuse that a little bit is that this is just an interesting historical point. In 1942, when there arose the controversy of putting the Japanese Americans into these camps, one of the people who was very much in favor of this and was all for, incarcerating these Japanese was the then Attorney General of the state of California, who is now Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
That is very interesting. Another question, sir, along the same lines. Do the economics of the situation in California, has it been thought that that had any influence on the Supreme Court? Since, as I understand it, the land that these Japanese Americans own had been confiscated.
Yes. I don't think so. I don't. It was just a matter of war hysteria, so far as I am able to tell. And in the same way, this Internal Security Act of 1950, the McCarran Act, was passed in a similar type of hysteria, the hysteria of Joe McCarthyism. You have to make that distinction as to which McCarthy we're talking about now. But it was under the pressure of that kind of warped national mood that this McCarran Act ever came into existence in the first place. It's the same kind of thing, really, just a mass scare initiated both of these instances.
Mr. Hedgepeth?
Yes.
We must interrupt, because we have to allow our stations down the line to identify themselves. Miss Carney, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. This is Night Call in New York.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Hedgepeth after station identification. In our city and state and all across the United States, people are talking about trouble, black and white trouble. Some call it racial tension, or see poverty as the real problem, or say law and order has given way to anarchy in our streets. Most people agree, at least, that there is a crisis, and we are a people with many unanswered questions. This station believes you deserve to ask your own questions and get some answers, or at least opinions, from people who should know what they're talking about. So we bring you Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show where you ask your questions and express your opinions to leaders such as John Lindsay, Ralph Abernathy, John Gardner, Stokely Carmichael, and Sergeant Shriver. Night Call, the new nationwide radio forum on important issues facing you and the rest of the nation. Night Call, each weeknight.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. To William Hedgepeth about American concentration camps. Again, Del Shields.
And this is Night Call in New York. Your host, of course, is Del Shields, and we'd like to welcome the many stations down the line who join us for the second half hour. Tonight, America's concentration camps, realities or rumors. And our guest, Mr. William Hedgepeth, a senior editor of Look magazine. Mr. Hedgepeth, I'd like to pose this question to you. You stated earlier in the first half that it was hysteria that provided the basis for the camps to be set up on the West Coast, in which many Japanese Americans were incarcerated, and it was also hysteria that brought about, or hysteria, I should say, during the Joe McCarthy era, that brought about the McCarran Act. Now, is it not possible that the same kind of hysteria could plague the peaceful demonstrators and be going back again? That possibly it could force or cause many of our legislators to think in terms of reactivating the concentration camps?
Yes, and apparently it has already to some extent. As I mentioned earlier, the on May 5th, the House on American Activities Committee felt that conditions were such that they were perfectly in order in issuing a 65-page report suggesting the use of these six concentration camps for black militants this summer. Of course, I wouldn't exactly describe the conditions now as being anywhere near hysteria, but one cannot one can't tell what will result. There's been so much talk, obviously, foreboding of a whole summer of guerrilla warfare, practically, that I think that under such circumstances it might very well come about that we could have some near hysteria on the part of lawmakers and others if such conditions do arise.
This is Night Call in New York. Our telephone number is area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. That's area code 212-749-3311, 866-5010. And if you want to call collect, we certainly welcome your call. We'll take our next call, sir, from Des Moines, Iowa, from Mr. Marlowe, who's listening to Night Call over radio station KRNT. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Fine, thank you. See, Dale, I hadn't known anything about this before, but to me, now, something has to be done in order to get this country back on more or less an even keel to where people do have to start obeying the law. Now, I can't see that they're going to go racing out here and just picking up anybody off the street and so forth and putting them into this, what we're labeling at least, a concentration camp. Now, is this what they have planned, or is this what you think, or this gentleman thinks is going to happen, or...
Mr. Marlowe?
Yes?
We're having a little problem with your line, and if you'd be kind enough to hang up and call us back on another line, but in the meantime, we'll ask Mr. Hedgepeth to answer you.
Fine, I sure will. Thank
you very much, sir. Mr. Hedgepeth?
Yes, well, first of all, no one, at least in government at this time, at least among those people in government who are in charge of doing things, which is opposed to congressmen, has any plans of activating these camps this summer. The House on American Activities Committee is really acting in their capacity as advising in this respect. But neither the administration nor the Attorney General nor the Justice Department nor the Bureau of Prisons nor anyone else has any intentions of actually activating these camps as they are. One main point point that should be made is that that under ordinary circumstances, that is, without the president declaring the existence of an internal security emergency, rioters or persons involved in any kind of insurrection or anything of that sort are not in violation of any federal law. They are picked up and arrested by local or state authorities and held in local or state facilities. And so, therefore, someone involved in a riot is not necessarily doesn't have to contend with the federal government. Really, it just doesn't apply in this case.
Mr. Knox is listening to Night Call, sir, over WDIA in Memphis, Tennessee, and we welcome him. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, sir.
Is this Mr. Knox or Mr. Malik?
Mr. Malik.
Oh, I'm sorry. So Mr. Malik, who's listening to Night Call over WLIB-FM.
I'd like to ask this, Mr. William Hitchcock. If he has foreseen a war with Africa, why are you saying that black people in America will be put into concentration camp?
Do I foresee a war with Africa?
Yeah.
No, I don't. Do you?
No, well, I don't see any reason for black people in America to be in concentration camp, because during the Korean, during the Japanese war, then Japanese...
Oh, I see. I see what you're getting at. No, that's not the point. The Japanese situation was just one precedent of America using sort of extra-legal detention facilities. But what we are talking about is this law that under certain specific circumstances allows for the imprisonment of persons who it appears are dangerous to American society.
Just a minute, sir. Do you find it dangerous that black people demonstrating for human rights?
Who do you mean in this case?
I mean you and the old American society.
Well, I don't get your question there.
Are you saying, sir, that are you asking if Mr. Hedgepeth represents the American society?
No.
Well, he's an editor of Look magazine. He wrote an article, and he's the guest, and he's just given his particular view on what the condition is.
Well, you, sir, do you see any danger in people demonstrating for the human rights?
Are you asking me about... No, I don't see any danger in people demonstrating human rights, but that's... no one has suggested that anyone demonstrating for human rights is going to be put in a concentration camp either.
Well,
that just doesn't apply to this whole thing here.
When you say the militants, they're demonstrating.
Well, what I said there was that the House Un-American Activities Committee on May 5th issued a report suggesting that that this summer that black militants or persons involved in guerrilla warfare, this was their phrase, that the federal government consider using these camps for them should they present some danger.
Sir, like you said, do you find it un-American for people that is black people that is born in America to demonstrate or even fight for human rights, that they should be put there?
Well, if you're asking me if you say fight for human rights, if you mean if you're broadening the idea of rioting to be some sort of fighting for human rights, I'm definitely opposed to that. Yes, but I'm not. I think my feeling about this whole law is rather amply spelled out in this Look article. I think that this law is an abomination, and I think that it will be done away with as soon as anyone attempts to use the law, if not before then. But if you were asking that do I condone rioting for any kind of a reason, no, I don't.
And third,
Mr. Malik?
Yes, sir.
I certainly want all your questions, but we have a number of out of town people who want to get
sorry,
through.
Sir.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll take our next call from Memphis, Tennessee. Mr. Knox, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WDIA. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
I'd like to know, how do you think concentration camps would improve the present condition? I mean, you can't get all the troublemakers. You can't round them all up. It's just impossible.
Well, I don't think Mr. Hedgepeth is condoning concentration camps, Mr. Malik. Basically, he wrote an article in Look magazine and gave his views on what the situation is. He's not condoning.
Also, do you think that concentration camps lean more to the lower class or the upper class or any special class of people? Or do they just apply to the troublemakers?
Well, the situation, as I say, is spelled out in the law. It's persons whom it seems may commit sabotage or some similar social disruption under certain given circumstances. And it doesn't have any class orientation in it at all. And as far as your first question was concerned, I hope the idea hadn't come across to you that I was advocating concentration camps. I was simply saying that we do have this situation here that very, very few Americans are aware of, and I was bringing this to light and discussing some of the rumors that have attached themselves to this whole situation.
Do you know of any other way that has crossed your mind that could solve the problem besides concentration camps?
What is the problem?
The race problem. I mean, there's a strong disagreement between blacks and whites.
Yeah, well, I don't think that the concentration camps are any kind of answer to the race problem, no matter what. I think that the whole idea of having these camps, even in a dormant or latent state, is really abhorrent to our whole system of society here. So I don't think that anyone really suggests that even those persons who might be in favor of these camps don't condone them on the basis of there being any kind of solution to the race problem.
Well, do you have any solutions? I mean,
to the race
can you
problem?
Think of anything that would really end the race problem?
Well, I don't think it'd be mass incarceration of individuals. That gets into a wholly different thesis there. We could go on for several more hours. And I don't guess it's really proper for me to get into a discussion of what would solve the race problem. But this concentration camp thing is just is one factor that exacerbates the situation. And I think it certainly is deleterious to the whole idea of harmonious racial relations.
Mr. Knox?
What do you mean you got it?
Mr. Knox, thank you for calling, sir. This is Night Call in New York. Our guest tonight is Mr. William Hedgepeth, and we'll take our next call from Washington, D.C., Mr. Multi, who's listening to Night Call over WAMU-FM in Washington. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, sir. I wish to confess to one of the people who just spoke a little while ago. I can say that hysteria is a mere assertive slander on our Congress and the legislative and investigative powers. The clear object and intent of the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee in those days, as today, and our government was to defend our people, their rights, and to defend the Constitution. And I believe that Senator McCarthy did his level best to defend the Constitution and our country. He was competent and had moral integrity.
Well,
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guest William Hedgepeth after station identification. Black is a red-blooded American color. The black showed the color of his blood in places like Vietnam and Korea. and every other all-American battleground since the Revolution. Every time his country calls for help, he hears. But we don't seem to hear him when he calls. If black and white would listen with their hearts, they could hear each other. That's what Night Call is all about. It lets people air their views man to man, color to color, live from phones anywhere in the country. A syringe full of junk bites into black and white skin with the same ruining surge, and a black mother cries over her child just like a white one does. The problems are the same. The characters just have different colors. Night Call's person-to-person nationwide radio hookup lets the black and the white tell it like it is.
Speak for yourself. Collect on Night Call. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to William Hedgepeth about American concentration camps. Again, Del Shields.
This is Night Call in New York, America's concentration camps, realities, and rumors. Our guest tonight, Mr. William Hedgepeth, the senior editor of Look magazine, who wrote a most interesting and most provocative article. We'll accept our next call, sir, from Portland, Oregon, radio station KLIQ-FM, and we have the Castro Kid on the line. Welcome to Night Call, sir.
Yes, hello. This is the Castro Kid, is what they call me in KLIQ. And I recognize these concentration camps as a reality. And I have said so for many years. And I think there are two in existence right now, and several are on lease to various companies. But as a citizen, what can we do now to stop these?
I think that the only action that a citizen could take at this particular time is to go through your senator or congressman and ask for repeal of this whole thing. I talked with a number of senators and congressmen in Washington, and all of them seemed very reluctant, as they were when I was working on this up through April of this year. None of them would come out and say that they thought that the law should be repealed. I think that there's been a certain change of heart to a certain extent since the article has appeared. But it's, I think, a matter of just exerting pressure on your elected representatives, because that's the only thing you can do at this point. It's either up to them or up to the courts, and the courts can't handle this issue until the law is activated, and until, in other words, there is a plaintiff who can complain about the situation.
Well, don't you feel that through the House Un-American Activities Commission that these various aspects of the law have been proven unconstitutional so far, that this also might be proven unconstitutional if it were so brought before the court?
Well, first of all, the House Un-American Activities Committee has never been too much concerned with the issue of constitutionality. It was that organization which, as I just mentioned, called for the use of these camps and in circumstances of guerrilla warfare this summer. I think that you could go through almost any other agency of government and get a more intelligent response than you could going through the House Un-American Activities Committee. If you are on any kind of terms with your own congressman or senator, contact him and see what he's willing to do toward asking for a repeal of this thing.
Don't you feel that it should be repealed?
Well, I personally do feel it should be repealed. I did not editorially advocate that in my little article. But
I think basically it's the law is just on the books for people like myself who do want to dissent, that if things get too bad that they can enforce this law and do away with the dissenters.
The present administration has no interest in activating this law, but as I think should be obvious, one can never tell what any future administration might feel.
As long as the law is there, it can be used.
And as such, it constitutes, I believe, a potential danger, however vague.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, sir.
Bye.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. Remember, if you're calling from out of town, you may call collect. We welcome your calls, your comments, and your conversation. Area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010. We'll welcome Miss Sharp, who is listening tonight call over radio station WTLC-FM in Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome tonight call, Miss Sharp.
Mr. Hedgepath, I would like to know, do you think that this issue, now that it has been brought out in the open, that it can bring about a longer, hotter summer played up by the Black Power advocates?
You mean now that this issue has been brought in, out in the open, the fact that this is out in the open will contribute to a greater degree of racial tension?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't think so, really, because through my own explorations and that of other look editors and other individuals, there were very, very few persons in Negro ghettos, for example, who were not fully aware of this thing anyway, or at least not not aware of it to the extent of feeling it as some sort of potential threat hanging over their head. I brought it out in this article here in the sense of discussing the rumors that that were rampant, and also making the point that the government has no intention of activating this this law or of using these camps. And I cited Attorney General Clark, for example, who indicated very clearly that he had no intention of calling upon these things for their use, and similarly the head of the U.S. Bureau of Prisons and the Assistant Attorney General in charge of the Internal Security Division of the Justice Department, who is most directly responsible for this, each of these men considers this thing a very vague danger, if one at all, but I don't, that was one point of my article here, trying at best to assure individuals who might be afraid of this law that it is not an imminent danger that they face.
Thank you for calling. This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311, 866-5010. That's area code 212-749-3311, 866-5010. We're discussing tonight America's concentration camps, realities, and rumors. Our guest, Mr. William Hedgepath, the senior editor of Look magazine. We'll take our next call from Toledo, Ohio. Mrs. Campbell is listening tonight call over radio station WCWA. Welcome to Night Call, Mrs. Campbell. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Night Call.
Hello there. Now, can I ask you now?
Yes.
What is this talk about concentration camps in the United States? We never did have them, did we?
I didn't hear the last part of your question.
We never did have them, did we?
Well, yes, we have had...
Yeah. Uh-huh. But we didn't have them like they had them over there.
Oh, no. I think there wasn't...
Well, you know, I had a brother-in-law come back, and I had a husband come back from that Japanese. And, oh, my goodness. You mean to tell me they're going to put the colored in something like that?
I don't know.
You know, I'm white. I'm white.
Yeah.
And I don't want to live next door to them. I don't want to associate with them. But they got to live, too.
Yeah, well, I think...
Now, how can I ask that question?
Oh, which question are you asking?
You know, I had a brother-in-law come back from a concentration camp in Japanese.
Uh-huh.
He took that long walk with... General?
Yeah, Gregor. Well,
and my husband was over there for a long time.
Yeah, well, this is not quite that same thing. I think you're talking about prisoner of war camps there.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about...
You mean we're going to put the colored in a concentration camp?
Well,
they got a right to work, too, you know.
Yeah, well,
I'm white.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to live with them. I don't want to associate with them.
Mrs. Campbell, if you stay tuned, I think Mr. Hedgepath will attempt to answer your question.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank
you. I can hear you.
Right. I said, if you stay tuned, Mr. Hedgepeth will attempt to answer your question. Thank you so much for calling.
Well, now, should I hang up?
Yes, would you please? And he'll try to answer
you. Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Night Call in New York, and I think we have enough time for one more call. And we'll take this from South Bend, Indiana, Mrs. Bremer, who's listening to Night Call over radio station WSBT. Welcome to Night Call.
Sir, the Japanese Americans who were in concentration camps in World War II, were they ever able to get their properties back that the government seized?
Some, I understand, were. I've had some letters from some people who were put in these camps, and they say that in most instances those persons were not able to get their property back, but in some they were. I was, though not, of course, I mentioned the Japanese situation in my Look article, only citing it as a precedent of this kind of thing. The subject of this story and this discussion here is the present law that is still on the books that allows for not merely Japanese Americans but anyone else to be.
I understand that, but I was wondering why they don't give these people these properties. Some of these Japanese Americans were back two and three generations when they took them in the camp.
Well,
they have never returned their properties the way I understand it.
Mrs. Campbell, we're going to ask Mr. Hedgepeth to give us an answer to that during his wrap-up because time is running out on us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Mr. Hedgepeth?
Yes.
Hello, sir.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yes. You have about 20 seconds to wrap us up.
Well, I couldn't really say anything about the Japanese and their property rights, but I do believe, though, in general, that this particular law here is something that should be done away with. It can be done away with by citizen action on the part of people contacting their congressmen or senators, and then we won't have to be shocked by the reality of concentration camps in this country, should ever they occur.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you very much for being our guest. Since this is Friday night, I'd like to use this last moment or so to tell you about next week's lineup of guests and issues. Monday night, we'll go to Berkeley, California for Robert Fitch. Tuesday night's guest is Julian Bond, and he'll be talking to us from Atlanta. Wednesday night, the night of the Solidarity Day demonstration in Washington, we'll be talking to Major General Gelston, the Adjutant General of Maryland and the Commanding General of the Maryland National Guard. Thursday night, our guest comes from our neighbors next door at Columbia University. Juan Gonzalez was the leader of the demonstrations there last month. And we'll ask him what the rebellious students really want. We'll close out the week next Friday with anthropologist Margaret Mead, who believes we can instill bravery in our youngsters without giving them toy guns to play with. This is Del Shields. Good night for Night Call in New York City. Thank you for being with us. Good night and peace.
Night Call. The new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Monday night, same time, same station. Morality or the lack of it in the United States with Professor Robert Fitch of Berkeley, California. Listen Monday night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church. Presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, and National Urban Coalition.